My brothers and sisters, it's such a joy to be back together on a Sunday morning like this, to worship the Lord together and to fellowship, even though it's through a virtual means. But it's always a joy to come together again, Sunday after Sunday. And there have been a lot of talk about the camp, and it almost feels like it was a mountaintop experience. And then towards the end, Pastor was sending us down with a message of discipleship. So the real job actually begins after we have returned. And Pastor had also spoken about the DBF missions conference that is coming up very soon. And so we would like to speak more about missions and evangelism so that it is deeply ingrained into our minds so that we may be able to apply it in our day-to-day lives as well. Before I begin, I would like to read the passage for today. It's taken from Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 10, 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful day like this to come together and just worship you as the church, as a body of believers that glorifies you, that honors you. Father, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us in a new way again. We commit the rest of the program into your hand. May you lead us and you guide us. May you be the one who would speak to us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Today, I've logged in from my mobile phone, so I'm not able to see anyone much except myself. So that's quite helpful because if I would have logged in into the laptop and see many faces looking at me, I would feel quite nervous and I may not be able to speak properly. I would like to start us off with a little story, a contemporary life story of what I have seen and observed. A lady by the name Rajini married to a wonderful young man for 6 years. They had moved to Delhi for a better living, like many of us have done. But they were struggling to survive. On top of that, even though they were married for many years, she was barren. So every time they would go to their hometown, her in-laws would take her to different temples with the hope that their gods and goddesses would bless her and that she would conceive. But actually, that never happened. One day, they came to one of our small little church. As you all know, I work with a church planting organization for many years. And this was a small little house church in South Delhi. And they were brought by one of the old members of the church. They really enjoyed the fellowship. They liked it and they enjoyed the worship as well. And so it was a new experience for them since they came from another faith. And one day we were having a program at our center and we were all praying and suddenly this lady started to manifest a strange behavior. Now, as I narrate this, I'm only explaining what had happened without taking any theological stand on what I believe and I don't. But this is what I had observed. She would cry and then suddenly she would laugh again. It looked as though there were two people inside of her. A battle was raging inside of her between good and evil. Then she rolled on the floor of the hall. It looked like she was demon-possessed. So one of our pastor asked a brother to read the scriptures to her, and he read from the Psalms. And while reading, this brother suddenly stopped as he was shocked. And we asked him, what happened? Why did you stop? And he said, she was saying the Bible verses from Psalms much ahead of him reading it. So we all prayed for her all the more. She came back to her senses, but she looked dazed and was not looking very well. So we told his husband that they should visit the pastor regularly for prayers until she was fully restored. And that's exactly what they did for a few Sundays. She would sit at the back and she would act strangely again occasionally. But as they came back to the house church again and again for counseling and for prayers, she was fully healed. And guess what happened next? She conceived and they were blessed with a beautiful baby boy. And since then, they have been faithful members of the church and are very helpful to the church. And they are both baptized members of the church. And now every time they would go home, they would go around the villages to share the good news through their testimonies of God's faithfulness. We praise God for such transformative stories. And that is what encourages the church to evangelize and to send out missionaries. I will begin on evangelism. This is not what I would say that I do best personally. I appreciate those who are bold and go out of the way to talk about Christ to anyone at any time. Firstly, evangelism is compelled and commanded for Christians. We find this in 2 Corinthians 5, 11 and 14. The Apostle Paul writes, since then we know what is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. He doesn't say, since we are apostles, we try to persuade men. Or since we have a special gift of evangelism, we try to persuade men. Rather, he writes that because he fears the Lord, he is compelled to share the gospel and the love of Christ. The same should also be true for every Christian. It's because we fear God, we are compelled to evangelize. So evangelism is commanded of all Christians. We share our faith with an unsaved world because that is what God commands us to do. It makes no sense to hold the gospel to ourselves. We have the best news that anyone could ever want to know. So why wouldn't we want to share such good news? If we think it deeply, the best news, the news of eternal life, to reign with our Lord Jesus forever and ever, where there will be no more pain and suffering. What are we busy for as humans, as human in our life? Isn't it to alleviate pain and suffering? Well, we work hard day in and day out, and we try to make our lives a little more comfortable. But is pain and suffering fully removed? Temporarily, maybe yes. But in reality, it doesn't actually leave us. Everyone is in search of a better life. My brothers and sisters, better life is not here, but there in heaven. If this is the case, then why are we not able to speak about the best news that we have to those who need to hear and receive the best news? I do agree that we need to be innovative and creative in ways that we evangelize now as times have changed. Even though our constitution gives us the right to propagate our faith, it has become difficult to openly do it as we used to in previous years. I hope you understand what I mean. As a college student many, many years ago, there was a team from US. It was a YWAM team, and they were at the university campus, and they used to come and fellowship with us. And one day we decided to go for an outreach at the campus. So a couple of my friends, we were all new, and we were suddenly exposed into this new environment. So we followed the team. And we had a brother who would hold a guitar and just sing in the middle of the college. And then when some people would just come around, they would speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But me and my other friend, every time we saw a bunch of young people coming towards us, we would hide behind the bush. We felt intimidated and we were feeling embarrassed. And it was a very odd situation. So this was my first experience of an outdoor evangelism. But I think my brothers and sisters, as we are the ones who have the best news, we need to ask God to give us more boldness to be able to speak about his love. He does not want people to be lost. It is you, yours and my job to bring them to the fold of Christ. Secondly, evangelism is a source of joy for Christians. Every time we talk on evangelism, I really appreciate Uncle Parmar for the heart of evangelism that he has. And he's always ready to give out tracts anywhere, anytime, without any inhibition. I really, really appreciate him and like that. Not only should we evangelize because we are expected to as a Christian, but also because evangelism is so much important because it gives us the joy as Christians. In Philemon 1, 4 to 7, it reads like this: I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Here, Paul expresses joy in the fruit of God's work in the life of his friend Philemon. But he also encourages Philemon and also to all of us today to share the gospel regularly for our joy. When we share our faith, we gain a fuller understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. We are never to guilt Christians into doing evangelism. We want Christians to share the gospel because it deepens their relationship with Christ. In order to fully understand and presumably to enjoy the good things we have in Christ, we must share our faith. Evangelism is not just for the other person. It helps us to grow spiritually ourselves. Some years ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Uttar Pradesh at a small village called Khalilabad. That's actually the main small little town, but we went further deep inside the village. It was called Piparia. It gives me great joy every time I think of that experience. It was not a fancy place. It was a small little village. We stayed in a one-room house, slept on the rooftop. We had to get up early before sunrise to go to the field for nature's call. It was tough, but worth it, as we were able to share about the Lord Jesus Christ. Many had never heard about the Lord Jesus in that area, and few were baptized on that day. So that really gives me so much joy, even today when I think of it. I really, really thank God for that experience. And I think that is what should motivate us for evangelism, that every time we do it, we experience that joy inside of us. And thirdly, evangelism is for God's glory. The third reason why we encourage evangelism rests in its ultimate purpose, which is to glorify God. In Romans 3:25-26, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. Romans 3:25-26. The purpose of God's substitutionary work in Christ was first and foremost to vindicate the name of God, because his prior forbearance towards sin had caused his justice seemed to be called into question. We know from other places in Scripture that God showed love for us through the sacrifice of his Son, but glory of God was the first thing in his mind. We know in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of sin, we would have died. But it's only because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. And that is why God gets all the glory. I would like to ask all of us to take some time to think through how we can strategically reach out to others. Now, evangelism doesn't have to be spontaneous. It can be very deliberate and planned out. Sometimes it takes just a simple conversation with a friend, thinking through who is in our sphere of influence. Just one or two simple conversations can give us the encouragement that we need to be bold. Now, Pastor has been encouraging us to be a little more proactive in our approach to evangelism. I know that for a long time. We cannot do it in our own strength. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, because it is he who gives us the power to go out boldly. Let us together make an effort to evangelize in our own spheres for God's glory. Let's talk a little about missions. Missions is not an optional. Now, there are a great number of things in a Christian life that one can choose to do or not to do without any blot on our Christian discipleship. Maybe I can sing in the DBF choir or help with the children ministry. These things are significant, but optional. Not every Christian is expected to be involved in them, but involvement in the cause of global evangelism is not one of those optional things. All Christians are called to serve the cause of global evangelism in one or two basic ways. And we have already heard this from Pastor, but I will repeat again as it is important. The first one are the goers. There are some who are called by God, whatever that means, to leave the place where they are and going somewhere else with the deliberate intent of sharing the gospel message in a new place or with a new people. And I think Pastor took us through Matthew 28, 18 to 20 beautifully last time. It is recorded like this. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And the passage that we read earlier also, in Romans 10, 14 and 15. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Here in DBF also we have few missionaries who have heard the call of the Lord and gone out to a certain place, to a specific location to engage with specific people groups. We praise God for them. It's quite a sacrifice to go and do that. Some years ago, I had a privilege to attend a missions conference that was organized by a mission organization in Bangkok. And the format of the conference was that after it ended, you had the option to go on a mission trip for a few days. And me and my two colleagues, we decided that we would go to Vietnam on a mission trip. And we were really not sure what we would be doing. After the group was made, we had a team leader, and that person was giving us the orientation. Now the job for us was we would fellowship with some of the church people there. But there was another task, an important task that we had to do. We were supposed to carry the newly translated New Testament Bible for a small tribe in Vietnam and then hand it over to a pastor. So that sounded a little uncomfortable to me, but it was a challenge which would never come our way again. So what they did was they packed the New Testament little Bibles neatly as gift wraps, each one of them. And then we were asked to carry whatever number we wanted. So we filled our suitcases and then we went. And then what they told us was in the airport, in Vietnam, none of us would know each other. So that was how it had to be. We all would have to act as though we are individual travelers going in. And by any chance, if we would be caught, then we would tell them that we were carrying gift packets for anybody, any Vietnamese. And it would all depend on them whether they would deport us, or I don't know what would have happened, because by God's grace, we returned safely. So that was quite an experience, because they x-rayed our suitcase after we went through the immigration. And thankfully, it went safely, and they did not open the suitcases, and we were able to deliver the New Testament Bible to a pastor. It was quite a joy. It was quite a thrilling experience, but we were so nervous at the airport. And what was funny was we were all standing close to each other, but we were not looking at each other. We were all pretending as if none of us knew each other. Only after some distance, we walked out of the airport and then we got into the bus together again. And I think there have been so many people, so many missionaries who have lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. And it's only because they want to carry the best news that we have to those who have never received. The second group of people are those who are senders. The first one are the goers. The second one are the senders. The biblical picture is that if we don't go, that doesn't end our responsibility. Rather than we structure our lives in order to help support, encourage, and to send. In the book of 3 John, we see the universal imperative for all Christians to be involved in missions. It reads like this in verse 5 onwards. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. In this passage, we see some who were sent out by the church for the sake of Christ's name, and there are some who are to show hospitality. Both goers and senders are a part of the work of missions. For those who send out missionaries, a passion for global missions should be a normal part of their life. The Great Commission was given to the church. Missions is a work of all members of a church, not just a few. Therefore, we want to inculcate a passion for missions in every disciple. We can't have a biblically faithful church without a passion for missions. We deliberately talk about missions in our discipling relationships because we want our friends to grow spiritually. In 3 John verses 1 to 4, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How does John say that Gaius was showing his faithfulness to the truth that especially highlighted his spiritual health? In verses 5 onwards, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. Now, John seems to base much of his confidence in Gaius' spiritual health on his willingness to care for and welcome itinerant evangelists or missionaries sent out probably maybe from John's home church. This particular act demonstrates for Gaius' love for the lost and for other Christians. And that is why we also need to deliberately cultivate this kind of love in our lives because we want to do well spiritually. Cultivating a passion for missions promotes spiritual health because it is one of the most selfless things we can do as a Christian. Romans 15, 8 to 9. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he had made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name." An engagement with missions brings God glory. Brings God glory. If we are genuine Christians, then a desire to see God glorified should be a very real and significant part of our lives. I would like to encourage us to read beautiful books on missions. They can be a great source of motivation. And who knows, you might receive a call from God to be a missionary somewhere out there one day. Maybe you could read To the Golden Shore, The Life of Adoniram Judson by Courtney Anderson, or Faithful Witness, The Life and Mission of William Carey by Timothy George. Around the year 1975 to 78, we lived in Serampore as my father was studying his BD during that time. And I can remember as a little boy, we used to visit William Carey's grave once a year, along with the seminary professors and students. So it's a great memory to remember till today for me, that experience that I had as a little boy, just to be able to go and see the grave of William Carey, a great missionary that we speak of so much today. What a sacrifice. We need to model a concern for missions. Let others know how we are personally, deliberately structuring our life in order to be faithful to God's passion for global missions. And let others know about the decisions that we have made, about our time, our money, our vacations, in light of our desire to advance the work of Christ around the world. I understand that not everyone will become a pastor or a missionary. And that's also not possible. But every healthy and mature Christian must at some point ask what his or her role is in God's plan to reach the nations. Some will be goers, some will be senders, but all must be involved. Concern for evangelism and missions is a basic part of what it means to be a faithful Christian disciple. Matthew 9:35-38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And I would like to repeat the verse that we read right in the beginning, because it's so beautiful for missions and evangelism. In Romans 10, 14 to 15, and I will close. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? My brothers and sisters, there are many who have not even heard the name of Jesus today. It's very strange for us to know this reality. But there are many out there who have actually not heard. it surprises me even sometimes when they said no, they have never heard about Jesus, because we take it for granted that in this age of so much media, they would have heard. But then there are many who still actually haven't heard it. So how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Can they just go by themselves? It takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of money. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We are to decide today whether we are preparing ourselves to be goers, or are we going to be senders? There is no third option. Either you go, or either you be the sender. The mission field is all around us. We can all play some part. We will be blessed spiritually, and God will be glorified in it as well. And that is what I want to encourage all of us with this morning. As the DBF Missions Conference is coming, as we prepare ourselves in our local church, how are we going to apply this in our lives? As much as I share, I'm also not perfect in this. I need to do better. I need to do more. And I'm speaking this to myself as well, because it is not an option, but a command that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the greatest mission task that was ever taken, because you did not want us to be lost in eternity, but you wanted us to live with you in eternity. In the same way, Father, I pray that the best news that we have received, we may be able to take it to those who are in need of this news. Give us that passion for lost souls. We come across them across the street, everywhere, where when we travel, when we move around, we know that many of those are going to hell. So I pray that you'll ingrain in us the deep passion for these souls, so that we may be able to reach out to them and give them the good news, the best news that we have. We thank you, Master, for helping us to understand this in a simple way. Continue to teach us each day so that we may be proactive in our lives and act upon it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.